A country of 300 million people created just 18,000 jobs last month.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll find out if this morning's dismal June jobs report from the Labor Department is as bad as it seems. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down this morning. The Dow down 102 points at 12,617. The NASDAQ down about 1%, and same with the S&P 500. And for the sad music you're hearing, you can thank that jobs report that came in from the government. It said the economy created just 18,000 jobs last month. That is much lower than expected. It also said the unemployment rate ticked up to 9.2%. President Obama is going to make a statement in the next hour. Let's get some analysis now from our regular Friday guest, Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. He is with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Chris, how could these this report from the Labor Department be this bad?
Boy, it's just wall-to-wall ugly, the report. I went through category after category looking for some bright spot to put in my note to our salespeople this morning, and that there just isn't much to cling to. You know, we have an increase in the unemployment rate, only 18,000 jobs, as you said, and weakness in some categories where we don't normally see weakness. Healthcare and education, for example, was flat in June. We haven't seen anything but increases for the last couple of years. So it's sort of wall-to-wall ugly, I'm afraid.
Well, what about these people who blame Japan and European debt crisis and high gas prices, these so-called transitory factors?
Well, some of that was to blame. For example, there were only 6,000 manufacturing jobs created, and that's probably at least partly because of the weakness in auto manufacturing. But because there was because there were no industries really that stand out as strong this month, it looks to me like there's something bigger going on. Just for example, there were 15,000 job losses in finance, which can't be tied directly to any of those three factors.
And finally, Chris, do you think this will have any impact on the debt ceiling debate that's going on in Washington?
Well, I hope it does in a way. I think if there's one political message to take away from this, it's that it's imperative these guys don't drop the ball. They have got to come to an agreement, and they have to do it before the August 2nd deadline, because the economy is clearly in a really fragile place.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Well, Congress is hoping to finalize a $650 billion defense spending bill today. And after a vote yesterday, funding for Libyan rebels who are trying to oust leader Muammar Gaddafi won't be part of that bill. For more, let's bring in the BBC's Paul Danahar, who is with us from Misrata, Libya. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how do you think this vote in the U.S. House is going to be felt among the rebels? Is it important to them?
It's very important because the key thing they need here are arms and ammunition. They have plenty of men willing to fight. Often they're going to the front line sharing rifles. So the kind of staggered approach to this war is simply due to the fact that when they collect enough ammo, they can fight. When they can't, they stay where they are. And there's a lot of impatience from Western people to get this thing moving, and it won't move unless there's more things to shoot with.
Well, if they're not going to get weapons with help from the United States, where are the rebels getting the money for the things they need?
Well, some of the ammunition is coming from Benghazi. Some they're capturing on the ground, and some is being bought, and it's being bought by the local leaders and the businessmen who moved with the public here against Gaddafi. So it's very much a localized affair here.
Paul, how long do you think this fight against Gaddafi is going to continue?
It's going to continue, I suspect, for many weeks. And we've got Ramadan coming up in August, and that worries the rebels a lot because it means that their fighters are not going to have full strength during the day when they want to be fighting, because they will have been up all night because they fast during the day. So I think it will drag on for quite a while. And the thing that will keep it dragging on is a lack of ammunition and a lack of arms in the hands of the rebels.
The BBC's Paul Danahar in Misrata, Libya. Paul, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. and by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
The real estate website Zillow is going public, but why would a company associated with the housing market want to IPO right now? Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith.
Back in the bubble days, everybody wanted to know how much their house was worth, and Zillow's Zestimates were the talk of cocktail parties everywhere. Economist Christopher Thornburg.
What Zillow did was really individualize it down to your house in your neighborhood.
Then the market tanked, and looking up your home value was something best done with an antacid nearby, which might explain why Zillow is only being valued at around $350 million. A bad moment for Zillow to go public, right?
Couldn't imagine a better moment.
Susan Wachter is a professor of real estate at Wharton. She says a real housing recovery is likely years away, but right now, Zillow is seeing a real opportunity.
We really don't know. Are housing prices up? Are they down? They're kind of at a precipice, and when you're at a precipice, you're really interested in knowing where you're going next.
So far this year, Zillow's revenue has more than doubled, and the site just invested in a revamp of its Zestimates nationwide, mostly downward. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, CBS's ratings for its national broadcast of Boston's fireworks display were up 22% over last year. But it appears the program wasn't all it was cracked up to be. The Boston Globe reports this morning that the network altered the images so it looked like the fireworks were being launched right behind famous landmarks like the Massachusetts State House and Fenway Park, angles that would have been physically impossible. CBS, by the way, still came in a distant second in the ratings to NBC, whose fireworks broadcast was legit, as far as we know. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Rocket science company SpaceX has goals that you might call astronomical.
I think that we should be focused on establishing a self-sustaining human civilization on Mars.
I'm Tess Vigeland, and out of this world conversation from the corner office with the CEO of SpaceX, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.